All right, at 6 p.m. on the nose. I want to ask, start out by asking essentially forgiveness from all of the chairs, the various boards and commissions, as well as the mayor, who start these meetings out routinely in a very smooth and efficient manner. And this is my first time giving him a whack. So as a staff member of 21 years, but I've never been on this side of kicking off and announcing, calling a meeting to order. So 6 p.m., we're rolling. All right, so this is essentially, from a technical perspective, a study session. It's a study session.
Recording in progress.
Thank you. Of our boards, commissions, council, and the youth advisory group. So that being said, I want to make sure that it's clear that we're inviting everyone in this room to participate tonight. A core theme of all general plan efforts is inclusivity. A very, very important value. And we're going to talk about values that we want to make sure happen in putting together the general plan a bit later. The town attorney who's here is going to keep me on a path. There are a few housekeeping things we need to accomplish. I'm Byron Vella, town planning manager, and we are going to perform a roll call of the different boards, commission, and council. And so if I can ask, I need to get some of those sheets of paper over there, possibly, where everyone's signed in. And I'm going to try to do this in a very quick fashion. We have some 50 or so folks that represent the different boards and commissions. And the roll call is really going to be asking folks that are here, when I call your name, simply to say present. So we need to take minutes of the meeting, and that needs to be reflected in the record. All right. So again, in lieu of calling every name of every single person, I'm going to call those who are present. Okay. All right. I'm going to show my bias real quick of town boards commission by starting out with the youth advisory committee, youth advisory council. So really appreciate you guys being here. All right. I'm going to do my best on names, and forgive me if I slip in pronunciation of the last name. All right, Kennedy Blanchard. Thank you. Welcome, Riley Goodwin. Thank you, Riley. All right, Elena Hendricks.
Here.
Thank you. Allison Kuster.
Right here.
All right, Allison, hope I got that right. Faith Ryan.
Here.
Hey, Faith, welcome. Kendall Brock.
Here.
Welcome, Kendall. Doshi Tanish.
Here.
I'm sorry, I heard here. There we go, hey, thank you. All right. Board of Adjustment, Tom Gribb.
Here.
Welcome, Tom.
Thank you.
Joseph Finney.
Present.
Hey, Joseph, thank you. All right, Budget and Finance.
You're missing your video, apparently.
You're the attorney. You get to
the Zoom is live.
Well, maybe it's the feed. If you go to the meeting agenda.
It's only audio. The feed is on the
audience.
All right, proceeding. Board of Adjustment, mm-hmm. You just covered the two members present.
No worries.
Budget and Finance Commission, so John Fortunato.
Here.
Welcome, John. Jennifer Carr?
Here.
Thank you, Jennifer. Heather Laird?
Here.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Thanks. James Beasley.
Here.
Welcome, James. Stormwater. Gary Mattson.
Here.
Richard Hawkinson.
Here.
Welcome. All right. Water Utility Commission. Ken Lentow.
Kay.
I'm so sorry, Kay. And Tom Merrick.
Present.
Welcome, Tom. All right, Historic Preservation Commission. Avi Lee.
Present.
Welcome. Michael Paul.
Here.
Welcome, Michael. Parks and Rec Advisory Board, Gary Temple.
Here.
Hey, Gary. Welcome. Joanne Moodhart. Matthew Wood.
Present.
Hey, Matthew. All right, Planning and Zoning Commission, Joe Nichols.
Here.
Hey, Joe. Kim Outlaw Ryan.
Present.
Hey, Kim. Dan Sturman.
Here.
Former Commissioner Al Bergson.
Here.
All right. I think that's everyone. Just kidding. Town Council. Mayor Winfield.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Yeah.
President.
That didn't take me long to step in, did it? Mayor Winfield. Thank you. And Mo, Councilmember Green, Councilmember Joyce Jones Ivy. Fantastic. All right. Fantastic. That's the roll call. All right. Again, I want to make it clear that whether or not there's a quorum, everyone's invited to participate. This is agendized to accommodate not only folks that don't have a quorum as far as boards and commissions, but also anyone from the audience that chose to attend this evening. So we're going to invite everyone to participate. All right, roll call. Moving on. So agenda item number one as far as study session agenda, and it is the only agenda item, and I need to read this. Discussion only with town council, board and commission members, youth advisory council, and public attendees regarding community engagement strategies for the upcoming general plan. All right, let's get to work. All right, the discussion items, we're going to try to follow the flow that you see up on the screen here. We have a lot to cover, and we're going to do our best to get through it all this evening. And really, this is all about wanting to hear from you, okay? This is most of all of the meetings that we're going to be having, we're going to have discussion-oriented exercises where we're trying to pull information from you, okay, to learn, and specifically learn about what is the best way and methods relative to reaching out to folks throughout the whole general plan process. All right, so I'm going to start out with an exercise right off the bat. A little later I'm going to get into, you know, what are our primary tasks and what are the flow of our next three meetings a bit later. But I want to start right out with a few questions. The questions we're going to be asking you this evening, which you can see right off the cuff in terms of the first bullet, and also the last two bullets. What we're doing when we're asking these questions is we're starting to build the essential components that are going to come together in creating a community engagement plan. So we're going to be taking notes as you guys speak and as we try to draw information and comments and questions from you folks. All right. So right out of the chute, by a show of hands, let me ask, before you raise your hand, the question will be, were you involved in the last general plan effort? What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is, did you vote? Did you perhaps fill out or engage with some residents at the farmer's market to provide comments that went into the general plan? Did you come by and get a piece of pie down at Jerry Bob's at one of our workshops and also provide sticky note comments? Did you participate as at a youth event down at the swimming pool where we had our booths up, or at Starbucks where we had booths up? In any form or fashion, did you participate in the last general plan? Just by a show of hands. All right, fair number of folks. Can I see two hands for folks that served on committees? All right, fantastic. Everyone in the room, I want to really punctuate. One, I want to tip my hat to everyone that did participate. I want to extend a very deep bow to everyone here that didn't participate and that are here today. You're very important as well. We need to hear from you, because part of this effort is trying to pull in folks that didn't participate and understand why, and make sure we're, again, maximizing the amount of participation we can get out of our efforts. All right, so the first exercise, and I'm going to actually go around the room and ask this question and ask for feedback. Ms. Sims here, principal planner, who's the real horsepower behind organizing all of this, is going to be taking notes, all right? So we're starting to create some building blocks and what a community engagement plan will look like in the future. All right, so I am going to pick on the mayor as the first, and we're really looking for one-minute blips, all right?
Or less.
So, or less. Yeah, no, it has to be a minute. So
we
get there you go. And so what I'm going to do is just tell you what. Folks that sit in the front of the room always get picked on the most, right, in these types of exercises. So I'm going to ask the mayor, and then I'm going to go to the back of the room and head over to you, Dan, and then we'll just head around the back and then work our way back out to the front, okay? Is that all right? Dan's got his hand like, all right. Mayor, please.
Okay, thanks, Byer.
Sure.
You know, I get asked from folks, what's my vision for the community? And my typical answer is, who cares? And why I say that is that to me, what the general plan is the residents' vision for the community. And so that's something that's really important to me. And admittedly, it can be a moving target, even with the general plan, and it can be interpreted in a variety of different ways, but it's really, I think, the foundational document for residents and really for the participants in the process to articulate what their vision is for our community. And I think our community is what it is today largely because of the general plans, the 2006 and the 2016, and what it will be in the future as a result of the 2026.
Thank
you. Mr. Sturman.
Okay,
one more time. What's the question again?
What does the general plan mean to you? And I want to, before you answer, especially folks that did not, you know, are new to this process, if it doesn't mean anything to you yet because you need to learn more, that's fine to say. Okay, that gives us a sense of more of the work that we need to do. So, please, so, Dan.
Well, this is probably why that I lived in Oro Valley originally when I retired, and this is one of the reasons why I came back. Because the general plan to me is you have an organization, you have some means, you have some objectives, and I think that's very important, you know, for the community. Candidly, in some areas that I've lived in the past, really had no groundwork for land use or planning it, where it's a cohesive, and then there's some compatibility, and I find Oro Valley has that.
Thank you. Al,
please. Well, I think to me, a general plan is sort of like the town's constitution. It's sort of the overall guiding document for where we want to go over the long term. And it also lays out some specific steps we need to take to get there. So it's a broad document, but it's also a very specific document in terms of guiding our future.
Thank you, Mo.
excuse me. As an elected official, it's a roadmap for me. It gives me an idea of what the people that I'm living with, the people who elected me, would like to see happen. and it's also a place where I can kind of weigh in myself. One of the people I worked with years and years ago named Tip O'Neill, when explaining what something like this was like, he said, "Mo, the world is run by the people who show up." And I think that's what this group is all about.
I think the general plan is a way to bridge gaps between people in different demographics and find ways to like, improve infrastructure and just set goals for the community.
I love that. Bridge gaps. Very good. Please.
So I'm new. It's my first year here. And from what I'm gaining, Oro Valley already has a really big sense of community. And I think the general plan centers around the community as a whole and strengthening that.
Very good. Well done.
For me, I guess the general plan is kind of a way, as an opportunity to advocate for us, for the youth, and for more opportunities for us in our community.
So maybe 15 or 20 years ago, my husband and I started our first home in Central Tucson, like Grant and Country Club, I think, and we ended up renting in Oro Valley not long after that and transitioned around. But what brought us back, and we've been here for the last 10 years or so, was the sense of community, safety, family-oriented neighborhoods. I would say commerce and preservation of natural resources. So those are the values from the general plan that I cling to, and that's what brought us back to Oro Valley.
So it's about expressing values, community values, core values, ones that you hold dear. Councilmember Wright?
Well, I was not living here when the last general plan, the present general plan that we're under, was put together. But I soon became very much aware of it by reading it, and I always felt, and I continue to feel, that it is the community coming together, collectively deciding what they want the community to be, what is their vision to see it grow, and ultimately what do they want it to become. So for me, it's really a roadmap as a public official. It lets me know what the concerns were from this current plan. And it also helps me to, now that I'm on council, understand where we want to go, you know, for the next one.
Excellent. Joe?
Yeah, I guess it's hard to think of something originally to write there.
Yeah, Joe, top that one.
I view the general plan as a framework for, you know, the commissions and committees and city council and professional staff, you know, to guide the way decisions are made in the city.
Thank you. Gentlemen with the U of A hat, do you want to jump in?
Go ahead. That's you.
I think a general plan is a place where you can identify the elements that are essential for making people's lives more livable and to prioritize the things that need to be looked at, given the way the climate is at the present. When I say climate, I don't mean weather. I mean climate in a broad sense. Of the factors that are most critical, and to work to keep them from deteriorating.
Very good. Yes, sir, yellow sweater, please.
I've only been here 3 years, so I'm looking at the general plan. Your vision of the general plan might be different than my vision of the general plan. I will be honest with you, I taught planning at Kansas State and Iowa State for 20-something years. So I have a background in the field. And my family has lived in Arizona since the early 80s, all in the northern part. They're all up there. You notice I moved to the southern part of the state. Good to be with family, but not them. Right next door to them, so to speak. When I looked at various towns, both in Phoenix and Tucson, and looked at the various, one of the first things I did was look to see the type of general plan, comprehensive plan, so forth, because it gives a vision, an expression of what the community, what the people in that community feel is important to them. And that's why I chose to come to Oro Valley. And that's why I chose to use my skills on one of the commissions. Thank you.
Very good. Excellent. Let's go to the very back of the room.
Please. So, like everybody else here, going forward, I'll echo what's already been said. As a commission member, I see the general plan as being the overarching view of both priorities and strategies that helps inform what we do on our commission. And then personally, as a resident, again, echoing what lots of other folks have said and will say, it's a great way for me to understand what everybody else is interested in. So it's very informative to me.
Excellent. Please, sir. The gray sweater, sorry, I don't
That's all right.
Larry's name, sorry.
Like Joe said, it's kind of tough to figure out a different way to say the same thing over and over again. So I agree with everything, but I guess the general plan, it's an opportunity for the community to speak. And because of that, I guess to an outsider, the general plan is paints a portrait kind of the community, right? So we know, you know, if I'm shopping around for places to live, I can look at the general plan. See what to expect in the next 10 years or 20 years.
Fantastic. Let's head to the way back. Please, sir.
I think it's a blueprint for the town, what to focus on for all of the residents. And that then is designed to create direction for the town.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Ms. Lamona, would you like to jump in?
Sure. I agree with what everybody else has said, so I'll try to say something a little bit different.
All right.
I think that it's wonderful that you're taking the opportunity to get input and try to get as much input as possible from the residents that live here, because we have a very broad population group here in town. And I think this particular general plan is probably going to be even more important than some of the previous ones, due to the fact that we have the water issues, we're nearly built out, you know, do we want to annex, will we have the water for that? So there's a lot of important questions that need
yes.
to come out with this one.
Excellent. Yes. Ms. Mann, would you like to jump in?
So my first introduction to the general plan was when I found out that I could ask that it be defended so we could get the Canadians out of my backyard. Esposo Trails Nature Preserve was born. So that was my first introduction.
You lost me there for a little bit. Now I'm back.
That was my first introduction. Like, oh, we have a plan. Oh, wow, that's great. So what a way to find out, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's important. I agree with Cheryl that when you're almost 50 years old as a community, whether it's a city or a town, you really start to take shape as to what you are. And I think at this juncture, the water issue is going to drive many of the decisions that people are going to want to make about the future.
And we're going to talk more about issues.
I think it's going to be an important general plan, because you're at the juncture where you're going to decide whether we stay small town or whether we don't, you know?
Right. Very important, very important. And Thank you. And we're going to talk a little bit later about, you know, what do you think some of the core issues are. We're going to get that to that agenda really as a starter to that conversation, because we're not going to full answer that until we actually get out to the community. But we're preparing for the general plan here. We're getting ready. So it's helpful to know what the big topics are. So what does a general plan mean to you?
All of that above. I certainly see it as a guideline. But I think the number one priority needs to be community input, so that those of us who serve the community need to do so in the manner in which they wish their home to be, so that we should be receiving individual community, families, groups, input, and which might necessarily override something that those of us who serve the community would want. The issue of how big the town should be, how much land should be used, what kind of community they want. I think we have to prioritize what comes from the community. And what I've seen historically is that's hard to get sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to focus on really getting community input.
Fantastic. That's, I love that you're on this committee, this group, because that's our mission. That is our mission in putting together a participation plan. You just nailed it. Please. Yes, sir.
It's a framework to guide future decisions about development and investment in the town.
Very good. Yes, ma'am.
I'm new to the idea of the general plan, but what I have gathered so far is that it's able to provide new opportunities, not only for the youth, but all demographics, and strengthen the sense of community that's already so prevalent here in Oro Valley.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I am also new to the advisory council this year, so I didn't know a lot about the general plan until today, but all of the above sounds great. But more than anything, it sounds like a way to show the residents of Oro Valley that the town itself is listening to what they want. And it is a really good way to keep Oro Valley on track to do what is best for our residents, and I think that's the most important part, to show our residents that we are listening.
I love that word, listening. That really is what it's about. Listening. That's the community's plan. Please.
I'm going to use the term bridge the gap again, because you come to learn that that's the youth advisory council's favorite term ever. But I've lived here my whole life, and I've come to love a lot of things about the community. But to me, I've always been really passionate about the whole bridging the gap between the youth and the older community, because in Oro Valley especially, not calling people old, but that is a lot of our population. And especially, I think, opening up opportunities where the youth are able to interact with organizations such as this and being able to put their voice into municipal, like, government issues, not issues, but if they have an opinion on something, they can join organizations such as Youth Council and say those opinions. So opening up those opportunities for them is really important to me, and bridging that gap between the older community.
Really glad you're here. We need you. We need you. Yes, sir, at the very back.
Yeah, I think the general plan is a way to get the broadest set of constituents, residents, you know, stakeholders involved with where the community should go next, and really identifying the core values for Oro Valley. A lot of those we already know, we're just going to strengthen those, right? We have safety, conservation of our resources, nature, all those different values, and then how those are going to inform Oro Valley's governing decisions going forward.
Fantastic. Thank you. We need your fingers are flying, right?
I'm misspelling a lot, so you know, ignore that part.
Yeah. That's good. Yes, sir, please.
Me? Okay. Yeah. So, I guess I have been a part of the general plan. I've only been here for 6 years now, so we love this place. And for me, I want to participate here because I want to protect this place. Mm-hmm. And I guess, if I gotta say, and I can help, I better. Basically, that's it.
Thank you, Bridget. Yes, ma'am, please.
As someone who is very, very new to town, less than 6 months, the general plan to me lets me know what's important to the whole community here, and also where I can expect the town to be 10 years from now.
Yes, sir. Because of getting the town involved on this plan, it becomes more of a cohesive survival guide as to our future. It allows government officials and the community to meet up and go forward.
I think a good general plan provides continuity, as city staff and electeds are not going to be here over the course of that entire time period. So it provides a living document that gives a direction that's as relevant in year one as we're doing outreach as it is in year nine.
I've heard the word roadmap, which I would agree that it ought to be a strategic roadmap. But like any plan, it might want to have some fluid capabilities in there for
yes.
Anything that might change.
Pandemics happen. Things change.
Yes, sir. So I look at it as providing certainty and expectations. You know, when you move into a neighborhood, you have a pretty good idea what's going to happen, and with the whole town. We've only been here since 2014, so kind of missed the first one. I was retired in 2019, so got a little more involved after that.
You're forgiven. Thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate it.
I've only lived in Oro Valley, like my adult life with my kids and all that. It's always been Oro Valley, but I was really surprised that the general plan, like I was surprised that the town even put together a plan like that and included the community, like that the town itself cared about really what the community wants. So I didn't know if other towns do that or not, but I was actually surprised that was part of what we do. It was nice.
Very good, very good. Other towns do this. It's actually a state requirement.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other jurisdiction in the state that takes it as seriously as the town. They did that down the wind straps.
Yeah. Well, it shows. I mean, obviously, everyone said that too. It shows that you take it seriously. So the town takes it seriously.
Joe, you want a second try? Vice Mayor Barrett, would you like to jump
in? So I was going to say what you just stated, that it's legally required document for the state.
Oh, my God.
But that's the only thing that hasn't been said about it yet. But all your answers have me warm and fuzzy. And when the last general plan was created, I was on the Planning and Zoning Commission at the time, and they asked for feedback, and I turned in about 15 pages of feedback, and much to buyer's chagrin, I'm sure. And none of that affected the general plan itself, but the thing that it really did was it really taught me about what the community's goals and visions and values were as stated in that plan, and helped me to become familiar with it, and I think prepared me to help make sure that we implement what the community has said that they want. And so I like that we take the legal requirement of a plan and a land use map for the future and expand on it to make our goals and visions really representative of what the citizens want. And I think it's an opportunity for us to try and find common ground.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. All right, before the last gentleman goes, I have to point out that Mr. Egerton here has been involved with every general plan the town's ever done, going back to 1996. I'm sure he's glad you're in for another one. Yeah, please.
Oh,
please.
Well, every group has to have the old guy, you know. So I'm it. I got to call this particular document a living document. It's living into the extent that it grows or dies a little. Some parts of it die off and some parts grow and some parts getting bigger. And the thing to me, my wife and I moved here in 1988. So We spent a third of our 69-year marriage together here, over a third, half of it almost. And what when I look at it from when we first had this first general plan, there were parts of it that the state told you what to put in it.
True.
And we were able to insert something in there just for the heck of it, the heck with the state. And it was called the Arts, Culture, and Historical piece. And that particular piece was the basis and the driving force behind us getting a bond issue, for example, to get Narana Park, to get a hold of Steampunk Ranch, and put together an art, percent of art, all kinds of cultural events, all arose because of this living document. So I would say to you, if you have a brilliant idea, this is the time to bring it forth and develop it, because it is a living document. And I sit here with great glee and joy. I've never lived any place that I enjoyed more than this town. When we got here, there Marshall's was the Safeway. The little Walmart was the first Fry's, and those were the only two grocery stores in town at the time. So you know what I've seen. It's been good. So thank you for allowing me to be here tonight. I appreciate that very much, and I support all of you.
And one thing that you're going to hear me punctuate from what Dick said is that just a little bit is the general plan gets things done. So Dick just shared a great example. It gets things done. Many people see the term policy boring, fluffy, but there are actually many action items that actually get results. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later. But before we get there, so thank you, Joe. So this is a quick snapshot of what we heard. If there's anything missing, I want to hear it. And this will be part of your minutes for the next meeting. These post-its. So these will be online as well. All right, I'm going to push this forward. All right, can we head back to that PowerPoint and on to the next slide? So really, the next, you guys essentially did my job for me. I was going to talk a little bit about what is a general plan. No need. You folks nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Including the state requirement piece. That's the other side of it. There are very specific legal requirements, not only in terms of developing a community engagement plan, that is actually the state requirement, but also the themes that you have to hit based on your population. So, and Dick mentioned that, and how the town has always gone well beyond. And I already mentioned, and Dick mentioned as well, is the fact that there are directions and actions. It's not just visions are important, but there's actually a big part of the document that's rubber meets the road to-dos. There's a to-do list. Okay. All right, and it's over a 10-year duration. So, when I mentioned that it gets things done, please take a look at the slide. I don't think there are many communities, if any, that have these kind of bragging rights. Okay? There are specific action items. Every department puts together a report of what has been done and what's on the horizon, what still needs to get done. Over the course of a 10-year plan, council adopts what are called strategic plans, which are a shorter duration. They're generally about a 2-year term. So over the course of a general plan, there may be 4 or 5 strategic plans. And those strategic plans, a big draw of the to-dos is straight from there. Okay, straight from the action items listed in the general plan. And we keep track of results. Okay? And here's what I know from being part of the last two general plans is that when we go out in the community, one of the first questions we're asked when we're standing at a booth at Starbucks or standing at a booth at the farmer's market is, why is this worth my time? I mean, does anything actually happen? What are the results? What are your results from your last one? We hear that over and over and over again when we start community outreach. It's a fair question. And we're thrilled that we have this. This is extraordinary. And the councils deserve a lot of credit for sticking to it, sticking to the plan. Okay? All right, moving on. I want to jump into a little bit of more housekeeping before we start the next exercise, which Ms. Sim is going to lead us on. So in terms of housekeeping, again, our task, our number one deliverable task, is a community engagement plan. It's going to be a document. And what you see in terms of the way these four meetings are organized are basically the key building blocks of that plan. And we're going to be coming back in front of you with exercises like the one we just did so that we keep building those. And that's all going to come together into one plan. Ultimately, what's going to be before you, and we're going to be asking, trying to build consensus in this room, we're going to provide different levels of public participation, different options. Is it high, medium, low, and what does that look like? And what are the specific techniques we're talking about that we think will be successful in reaching folks? So that is really the flow of the meetings, again, are towards those creating building blocks. In each meeting, we'll come back and we'll have minutes. We'll review what we accomplished at the previous meeting and then move on. We do want to keep these meetings informal, okay? We want to very much, again, keep an atmosphere of discussion and wanting to pull information from you rather than lecture. I will say that I think at least two or three people in this room use the word bridge. Okay? It's not, I think it's perfectly fitting that this is probably the first meeting in the last 10 years where we've had representatives of all boards and commissions and council in one room. Okay? Boards and commissions all have a specific focus. Stormwater, surprise, focuses on stormwater. Parks, surprise, focuses on parks. Most people, in their understanding of the general plan, like the lady in the back, they first get involved because of the land use issue and assume the general plan is all about land use and that's it. It's not. It's all of those pieces. And the bridge part is, this is the opportunity, this is the only time where we go out in the community and ask, how all these things interrelate? They're all related. They all bounce into each other. How does it all come together? So, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a bit. Ultimately, our goal is to get in front of council mid-March with a plan for review, discussion, and approval. And then that document will be used to establish a budget request, to put together the team to work on the plan. And that the public participation plan is the foundation of how we reach out to the community. Next slide, please. Why are we starting so early, okay? This is going to be on the ballot in 2026. It's because the town goes the extra mile. On community engagement, we always go further relative to the topics discussed. So to give you an idea, last go-round, you can see about where we are relative to that time frame. All right, so when we put this meeting together and the survey that's out there, where we're asking folks their opinions on how to engage in the community, a lot of folks ask the question, oh wait, is the general plan starting right now? Can I come to the meeting and tell you what my concerns are? And our response has been, whoa, Nelly. Right now, we're planning for the plan. okay? So we're not at the meat of it yet. What is the meat? To me, this is the meat, okay? So we are planning to plan right now. Not only does the community engagement plan, but it's also a lot of background reports on different topics, including housing and whatnot. So we have a foundation of information before we get started. All right, so that gives you a little bit of idea of like, really I want to punctuate that we're not there yet in terms of getting out to the community. Right now, we're taking the baby step of trying to understand how to best do that. Okay, that's coming. That is coming. All right, and ultimately it will be leading up to a vote. This is, I believe you're at what, 75% approval last year. 71%.
That's remarkable.
It's remarkable. That's the good. I'm going to talk just 2 seconds about the ugly. All right. We've had a general plan fail. Okay. At the ballot. We were the first jurisdiction to get that dubious honor. Scottsdale is now on our second go at it. They soon after had one. They recently had one. So the reason I bring that up is getting it right on community is everything. It's everything. It's not part of the thing. It's everything. All right, let's move on. So we set a really high bar last go around, a super high bar in terms of community engagement. You can see some of the numbers. And one of the foundational principles and a number that I'm particularly proud of on the screen is winner weights. So many jurisdictions will call having a meeting, open house, in town council chambers, serving stale donuts, community engagement. That doesn't work. There's a certain segment of the population that's easy to get involved, and the folks that are going on with everyday life, some would call, it's a strange term to me, but the silent majority. How do you get out to those folks? So, and we did that by trying to get out to where they are. So it is incredibly convenient, making it easy to do. So we set a really high bar. We certainly learned some lessons on how we can improve. We want to do better. Okay. So, quick snapshot. All right, onward, onward.
Can I ask a quick question?
Please, yes.
Why did it fail?
Why did it fail?
You should be able to learn from that.
Buyer's take is it wasn't as inclusive as it should have been. In fact, there were key groups that were excluded. There was a community perception that instead of being a community document, it was really a political document by the council. There was a perception that there was more in there that reflected staff's wishes versus the community's. So when we talk about later on in a future meeting, we're going to talk about values, right, in terms of engagement. And those are some of the things that, obviously, in my mind, are important. Okay? I started this meeting out by punctuating how important inclusivity is. Very, very important. So,
So it was the 06 one that failed?
Yes. We did so I would say, that's why I say I've been involved with 3.5 general plans. So, correct. There was work on it afterwards, and we went back out for vote, and it was great. Not by a big margin. So that's why we're extra proud of that over 70% approval last go. We did something right. Okay? We can always improve, but we did something right. All right, passing the baton to Ms. Sims. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bella. So I'm going to start us off with really the purpose of tonight's meeting is looking at what do we think as a group are going to be the likely focal points of discussion for this next general plan. So first, just some background information. So some of you already spoke about it, but there are various aspects of the general plan, and some of them are legally required. So the state law does require certain elements in our general plan. One is, you guys brought up that it's a living document, should be fluid. One state law requirement is we include in the general plan the process for changing it, because it is, you know, the vision for the future over 10 years, but yeah, nobody would have guessed a pandemic. So it can evolve. It also needs to include community goals and policies. But also importantly is it should include elements based on our population size. So what's shown on the screen is in 2016, everything in blue was required by state law. So land use, open space, growth, those are all just baseline elements of a general plan, and they will be included in the next general plan as well. What's shown in green, though, were added in 2016, and largely based on community engagement and community input. So cultural resources, for instance. Also, in going forward, because we're getting closer to 50,000 people, if you can believe it, is that we're going to have new requirements that have to be included per state law, which are the ones shown in orange. And again, I put other on there because until we go out into the community, we don't know if this is our complete list. So that's part of this community engagement process, is getting out in the community, getting all opportunities for all ages to see what we want to focus on in the next 10 years. A big key takeaway, though, I hope you get, and I know we heard throughout why the general plan is important to you, is the town of Moore Valley always goes beyond and above and beyond state law requirements. So especially, you can see there's more green on that screen than there is blue. So we went above and beyond last year. We're going to do it again this year to figure out what elements should be included in the future. I also want to point out that within all of these macro elements are sub-elements. So there is a topic relevant to every board, commission, advisory council in the general plan. So there's finance involved in a lot of these elements, water, historical preservation and cultural resources, and our quality of life for the future. So that's one reason we invited all of you to participate as well, because it really does touch all aspects of the town. All right, so these. So, how many of you recognize me from Community Academy? All right, so if you were in Community Academy, you know that I could take 2 hours on every single one of the slides I have coming up. But I'm not going to do that tonight, because what I want to do right now is I want to talk about what's changed in the community in the last 10 years. And the purpose of this discussion is to help us as a group have a larger discussion of what areas do you think we'll be focused on. So I'm going to give you some background information. I'm not going to go a deep dive into all these numbers. They're just there to scare all of us, really, because it's a lot of technical information. I'm not going to go into every little detail because, again, once we get going on the general plan process, that's when we'll really dive into every single topic, but we'll also be doing a background report to get the baseline. So the purpose of what I'm going to tell you now is just to give you an overview and kind of paint a picture of what's changed. After I go through these slides, be prepared, because I'm going to be asking all of you, from your perspective, not thinking of any of the numbers, what do you think has changed most in the last 10 years? All right? So looking at demographics, our population has increased. Roughly 6% of people who have moved here within the last year, or have moved here within the last year. So that's interesting. With regard to our population increase of 15%, just to provide some context, regionally, Pima County increased their population 6%. So that just shows our pace of growth within the region. Our median age is higher than the region at 54. But what's important is when you break down those age cohorts, The biggest age group in Oro Valley is 25 to 64, so most likely people who are still in the workforce. Education and income are also higher in Oro Valley than the region, and income did increase 29% over the last 10 years. Now, looking at employment information and workforce, there hasn't been a whole lot of change. You know what? I think I'll just stand on this side. There hasn't been a whole lot of change in our workforce. What's important just to point out here is that most people in Oro Valley work outside of Oro Valley. They're traveling about 30 minutes away, so that could be Raytheon, for instance, or U of A, as an example. Looking at employers also, not a whole lot of change. The only thing I wanted to point out on this slide is that kind of what you've heard probably a lot is because of the online shopping and the shift to more experience shopping, some of our main employers are no longer retailers. It's kind of shifted to more office and service-oriented businesses. So with our development pattern, so that has been a shift in characteristics since the last general plan. So one thing is, we are limited on land supply. We have about 6% of land left, and what I mean when I say left is vacant land or land that doesn't already have a previously approved plan. So it's completely unspoken for. Almost half of that land that's left is zoned large lot residential, and it's primarily along Oracle Road and Tangerine as well. And then there's also, of course, some non-residential and Tech Park. Residential development has been the driver for Oro Valley. So most of our land is for single-family homes or other or multifamily development. With that, as land continues to become limited, that really does change the way we are developing. So back in 2013, some of the trends we saw were large subdivisions, especially on the outer edges. And there's a couple in Big Wash that were being done too. 200 plus homes. That was what was happening between 2013, 2016, and even a little bit after. Some of those are finishing construction now, you may be aware of them, you may live in some. And some of them are about to start construction. We were averaging about 300 permits per year, which is kind of our norm. And I'll go further than that in a minute. Also, compact apartment complexes. So we have three apartments that were all built around this time. And then we also had still the big anchor stores coming in. So as we move forward and where we are now, instead of seeing development along the edge of Oro Valley, is now coming inward. So most development are infill spots that's surrounded by existing residents. We are seeing more smaller subdivisions filling in what's left. Also, single-family rentals is nationwide and statewide a trend, but we've seen a lot of proposals for more of your low-rise, high-density. So if you're familiar with a villa, for an example, that type of product. We also are seeing more mixed-use products. So instead of your standard Home Depot or big anchor store, we're seeing more mix of trying to get residential near commercial. So similar to how San Dorado is with the apartments next door. And then also, as I just said, less retail, but more office and employment and service-oriented businesses. So looking at single-family residential permits, just to think towards the future, what's interesting about this, especially those of you new to Oro Valley, is that with all the development you may see is, look how it was in the 90s, late 90s. That was the boom. That was Rancho Vistoso. Good members. And then, you know, we had the decline going into the recession. And then now we're in kind of where our new normal is, which is about that 300 permits per year. You'll see that there's these spikes, the 497. That's when a lot of those subdivisions that were being planned and approved back in 2016, 2017 started actually being constructed. And what we anticipate for the future, now, these numbers, I will say, they are from last year's projection. We are still working on our projections for this year. And, of course, inflation and interest rates will make a change. But what I really want to express, regardless of the numbers, is that we are anticipating a significant decrease in single-family permits within the next 5 to 7 years. The pace of that decrease is what we're still working on projection-wise, but we will get to where it's under 100 permits per year as, again, we start seeing less, all the large subdivisions being built out, and less land available. So looking at some housing statistics, again, just to give an overview, not a whole lot of change, but I really think the story that this slide tells is more on the trends of rentals. So you'll see that the amount of single-family homes, which is the one-unit detached, did decrease a little, but what's really interesting is the rental vacancy rate significantly dropped, and who's living in the rentals are mostly young professionals, empty nesters, college students, not as many families in those renter-occupied households. And with transportation, again, not a lot of changes in the numbers. I mean, there are a little bit more miles of public streets and our service to the public. But I think the main changes since 2016 are the improvements that have been done. So the widening of Tangerine Road. And now the town also owns some of it. So if you don't know, Tangerine Road is Arizona Department of Transportation state or roadway. But now we own it. And then improvements to Lambert Lane. So I don't know how many of you were here 5-ish years ago, but if you remember the big hill? Mm-hmm. It's still a hill, see? Yeah. Nobody flew down it, right? Mm-hmm. But that was improved. LaToya widening, that just recently happened, and the traffic circle at the intersection of La Cunada and Moore. So those are more of the changes that we've actually seen with road transportation. Now with water, I am not going to try to go through this chart. I will leave that to Peter Abraham. But what the big takeaway here is if you look at this, the dark blue is groundwater, and the light blue is cap water, and the purple is reclaimed. And what the chart points out and the numbers support is that even though we've increased our number of service connections and increased our miles of distribution means, our reliance on groundwater has decreased, which is similar to the chart. We're trying to rely less on our groundwater by using the cap water. Right. Now with parks and recreation, similar to transportation, the biggest changes you've seen have been actually out in the community. So it's the recent ownership of the Vistosa Preserve, reduction in town-operated golf, but also Naranja Hall Park. So in 2013, they were constructing the archery area of Naranja Hall Park, and now there's the master plan and also the expansion project. The amount of programs is also interesting. It's almost doubled since 2013, so there's a lot more programs and with that memberships as well. So, again, that was a very quick snapshot, and I purposefully didn't focus on all the numbers. I want you guys to be aware of them, but really the purpose is just to show that there has been change in 10 years, as expected, in some areas more than others. But now, I really want to ask all of you, regardless of the data, in your perspective or what you've heard in the community, what do you think has changed the most since the last general plan? And if you're new here, let me think how to phrase this. If you're new and you just look at what you think would have been, or, you know, if you see any changes even the time you've been here, does it have to be 10 years ago? So even in the last year or 2 years, however long you've been here, what has been the biggest changes you've seen in the community? And if I I'd ask that you raise your hand. I won't call anybody out, but if you'd raise your hand, because I'm going to record your answers, so I have enough time to type it up.
I have one.
All right, so...
Melina, if you're typing, would it help to have Bayer or somebody kind of facilitate or whatever you'd like to do?
Sure.
Well, living outside of Oro Valley and then moving back to Oro Valley, the most significant change that I saw was how well you laid out the streets and how, you know, they're not banged up like the county is. The car is not rattling as much.
Great.
That's the most significant thing. I vividly remember that.
Thank you. I'm sorry, I can't see your name tag.
Emma? Yeah, as part of the YC, this is my first year here, but I've really noticed that through YAC, I've been able to participate as a youth and kind of voice my concerns and my ideas through this council and volunteer more in different events I hadn't known of before. So I wouldn't say that's like a change, but it's like, to me, that was like really kind of like expanding my horizon and seeing what else there was in this community to participate in.
Okay. Yes,
I don't know that these are the most, but there's multi-use paths have certainly increased pretty significantly. Natural surface trails have increased to a degree. Restaurants, we have, surprisingly, we have 26 restaurants that are homegrown Oro Valley restaurants. And so I think that's pretty cool. And in addition, we have like 50 more. Now that's the whole range from Taco Bell to whatever. But when we first moved here in 1996, I mean, you could count the number of places to eat on your hand.
That's
so, yeah, it's a significant change. Yeah.
I certainly would agree with the mayor and also this gentleman. I mean, if you're driving from downtown Tucson up here, you can tell with your eyes closed when you reach Oro Valley.
But we don't advocate that.
The other thing is the health care facilities, which weren't here before. There are many storefront walk-in places for urgent care, which I think is a wonderful thing. And we have an outstanding hospital to take care of.
Key differences between 2016 and now? How?
Well, it's a trend that's nationwide and statewide as well as Oro Valley, but on the negative side, housing affordability has declined. The cost of housing has gone up, and probably less affordable for a lot of people that might otherwise live in Oro Valley.
Does that affect seniors?
Sure, it affects everybody.
That was a softball question.
I know where you're going with this. Yes.
Al's done a lot of volunteer work working on senior affordable housing. Anyone else, please jump in. Let's go back to you, Cheryl.
Traffic
and
density. Traffic and density. Housing density.
Traffic and housing density. All right. Yes, ma'am, please.
So I was going to say, there are more schools, there are more parks. The aquatic center wasn't the aquatic center. It was a donated facility that needed a lot of improvements. So we have a lot since the last year.
Very good. Kimberly, I'm just popping around the room, so don't worry.
So I would say again, after having lived here 10 years ago and then coming back before, not to sound ageist, but things were pretty limited, and it was clear that that it was geared toward an older community. But in coming back, we find more opportunities for families-centered opportunities, schools, parks. We were here during the pandemic, and seeing the number of people out on the walking paths walking their dogs, riding bikes with their families and children was a positive journey.
Yes, sir. So, Naranja Park is got great guns, and there's more to come, but it's way better than it was. It's getting developed, and it's a big bite, but it's going to be a good deal.
Absolutely. And just a quick footnote, that was a big trend I saw in shifting back in 2016, was the fact that previous general plans, the discussion was all about land use. The discussion was different in 2016. Folks were more, we're hearing more and more comments about parks. More, you know, the other things that make a complete community. And that phrase got used a lot. So who's had their hand up? I'm sorry. Please. I'll head back to you, Tom, and then behind you.
I was just going to kind of say the same thing. What I've seen is that there's more stuff for families, for children, for things to do with your children, for activities and organized events. That was big. I wasn't like that when we first moved here.
Yep, number of programs, that number aligns exactly with what you're saying. So, Tom, please.
Well, a lot less vacant land when you drive around. It's obvious, and there are fewer empty storefronts than we saw 10 years ago. And on the negative side, a large degradation in night sky, light pollution.
Good point.
Right behind Tom, please.
Well, I have noticed like an increase in art, like at Naranja, the quails, or if you're driving, I feel like you'll stop by a mural every now and then at Catalina as well. And it's really cool to see art grow in the community.
Sure,
that's
true.
Oh, you're gonna get dick started. I'm going to brag on Dick real quick. He was the primary founder of the public art requirements in the town back in the day. All right. Dick Yogi Lynch. Yes, sir. The way back.
I've noticed ever since the roundabout on La Piñata and Moore has been built, there's been less accidents and less stopping there, because I go through there every day, and it's really nice.
It works well. That was super controversial in that, in terms of folks, not some sorts being very concerned about the safety. So it's been what I'm hearing is it's a success. Fantastic. All right, anyone else, please? Hal, can I come back when I get first-timers, okay? Please.
I've noticed more accommodations for non-car transportation, specifically bike trails. I'm able to ride my bike more around safely.
Fantastic. Yeah. Very good. Please, let me pull some more out of you. Anyone that wants to jump in? Hal and Mo.
I used to work at the university, and I had to drive up to the Tortolinas and come back if it was raining. I mean, it was really awful. The bridges have been improved. The stormwater group have done an outstanding job. We have less people getting washed out, and so it's really demonstrably different than it was the first time I lived.
You had to drive through the wash.
So another national trend that I think we're seeing in this community, I know I'm seeing it in my neighborhood, is a lot more people are working remotely as a result of the pandemic, I think. People are working from home. And I'm not sure what that means in terms of our economic development efforts. It may mean that we don't need as many offices as we used to need. So I'll see where that takes us.
Very good. Fantastic, please.
Yeah, I think we, at least I've seen, even like pre-pandemic to now, the people that are moving in around me and around a lot of the other people aren't just from the Tucson area or from Arizona. A lot of them are from places like California or Texas or even across the country. Like, just anecdotally, a lot of my neighbors now are from California. And they weren't before the pandemic, so.
Yes, sir, please.
Along the term water supply versus growth.
I'm sorry?
I'll leave it at that.
Okay, water supply versus, that's a more heightened, important issue at this juncture.
Well, ability to meet long-term water supply versus growth.
Very good.
You probably for the first time, I think, saw some redevelopment with Oracle 2 that mm-hmm. wasn't occurring, and we may see some more of that. There's also been, I think, in our storefronts, a shift to a lot more experiential. So we have Pilates, we have fitness, we've got dance that are, I think, wonderful change that has occurred. And we're a very health-conscious community, right, in terms of being physically active.
Please.
Something I noticed, especially in my high school, is actually I go to Ironwood Ridge. A lot of the population is surprisingly a lot of kids from other towns, and I found that every time they want to go out, it's always to Orval because of the things we have here. All the sports organizations, a majority of that is actually here in Orval. Soccer practice, especially going to Naranja, they used to have to go to farther places in order to go to those practices. But even at school, they associate with Oro Valley, even if they live in Marana or Catalina. They always associate with living in Oro Valley because there's more things to do. It's pretty safe. I love living here because of how safe it is. But a lot of parents have to live in those other towns because of their jobs, but they love sending their kids here. And I'm like really grateful that we're the kind of town where they enjoy sending their kids here and are like okay with that.
That shift's good to hear because in 2016, some of the comments we hear is, I have to go to Marana for rec.
Yeah.
I do go to Marana for rec. I'd rather do that here. That's been a shift because of the improvements in the programs, perhaps. Please, yes.
I think that the community has become more contentious over the past 5 or 6 years, just in general, something that's happened across the nation. And I think while we're putting this outreach program together, it's so critical to keep that in mind,
mm-hmm.
that people feel strongly about the city and about government, and I don't know how to solve that, but I do feel like at the outset it's sort of almost like the elephant in the room,
mm-hmm.
as going through this general plan process and what that will mean and how to make a common idea and goal feel like something that can have total community buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I misspoke there, but something along those lines.
No, thank you. Thank you. Very poignant. Please, Ms. Lamana.
There's been a shift in the wildlife pattern. With all of the development, there's not as many empty lots. Houses have been built on them, and they're all coming into the community. There's more javelina. We've had that bear in Oro Valley, so definitely a change.
Yeah. Lee, am I going too quickly? You good? All right. Please.
I was going to say there are more primary employers, and we have things like the veterinary school and the U of A Center for Innovation. So we really have an opportunity, and we have our Roche expansion. So we really have some opportunity since 2016 to continue to build upon that sort of technological, educational hubs. And that's all been developed since 2016 in the last general plan.
I think Oro Valley has become a tighter knit community thanks to addition schools and parks, like at the dive-ins over the summer with the Youth Advisory Council. I would see from school and volleyball and church and friends of friends I have, and it's just you kind of go to the community event and you sort of like know a lot of people, even if it's not everyone. It's a very tight knit community compared to probably a lot of what you see in Tucson. I think that's a very good thing. That can be credited to things like parks and schools and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That resonates relative to our current plan. There's an important phrase in there that I think hits that. Small town feel. Maintain the small town. You go to the grocery, you run into people you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, very good. Dan?
Well, one of the things being on the Planning and Zoning Commission is what I found so good and so interesting was the constant effort to upgrade your codes to make it more what I call user-friendly, where it's not so restrictive and you're living off of something that was developed 20 years ago or even 10 years ago. And this is what I really see enlightening, because so many towns seem to be fixed, and that was it. This is how we've done it years back. We're not changing. So.
Thank you. Codes need to be modernized. They're stale after 5 years. Yeah. Professional opinion. Yes, sir.
Something.
Ma'am, sorry.
Something that I've seen in the community is more promotion of local talent and like artistry, the murals like Allison was saying, but also like the concerts that take place in Riverfront Park, or you know, the Battle of the Bands competition. Mm-hmm. I think that's great to see.
Fantastic. I did see some other hands. No, please.
I'm just going to second what they said. There's just more cultural and artistic opportunities. I mean, years ago we had Go Back and it was kind of like a diamond in the rough. And now we have Saka, we have the Oro Valley Theater Company, we have, if you want to learn to paint, you can get it at the community center. And even, not something I've done, but you can learn to line dance up there. It's really good.
That's going to be our second meeting. Morning exercises.
I didn't sign up for that.
Please, yes, sir.
I would like to make an observation comment, is that I think Oro Valley is much more integratedly designed as a community than places that I also looked at and say Prescott or Chandler or Scottsdale. I mean, when they developed, they just sprawled out. They had no uniform sense of what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have, and I think that's what we need to protect.
Well put. That didn't happen by accident.
I,
in fact, you can go down to Oracle with your eyes open. With your eyes open, and you know when you're in Oro Valley. So, a great observation.
I mean, look at all the open space that's been required and permitted, and I mean, you guys have done a great job on that. So it's not all paved over.
Thank you. Anyone else? Yes, sir, please.
Haven't been here for 10 years, but I, you know, the comment that's about changes that I didn't anticipate was the recent land acquisition that we made to add to our base. I would assume there might be more of that in the next 10 years, but that was a big change in my opinion.
Okay. Annexation is a discussion, very important discussion topic as part of the general plan. Absolutely. All right, great feedback. Anyone else before we start to move on? Yes, sir, please.
I think we might have seen an increase in people getting involved with like the town and town events and municipal government and having opinions. Maybe 5 or 6 years ago, we might not have seen as many people who have an opinion on water policy or whatnot versus now, over the last few years, we've really seen how those things affect us. And so a lot more people are coming to these types of events, speaking out, getting involved with the community.
Very good. I like to hear that. That's a great observation. Anyone else, please?
I wasn't sure I wanted to say this, but I'm going to.
Uh-oh.
Well, I'm not going to have my... I'm not going to tell you young people what to do. It's just a thought that occurred to me. Having seen all this magnificent growth in building and all the housing developments, I think maybe even during the mayor's tenure, we may reach a point where we have to start infrastructure rebuilding. And that could be a real challenge. Because you're trying to tell people or landowners that, hey, you don't fit anymore or something. And that could easily happen. Properties can deteriorate and so forth. So some of these properties were built, you know, 1993. That's a long time ago. And that's something I think the town's going to have to keep an eye on. Very, very careful.
Yeah, that's, you know, one of the topics in the general plan
town is directed toward infrastructure and revitalization. So we're still, compared to many, a very young community.
Right.
So we haven't experienced the infrastructure issues that others that have been around for longer duration. They're coming. So it's being ready for it and planning for it. All right.
So, since this kind of relates to the general plan and you presented this 6% number, you know I've asked this before, but what percent is still undeveloped land when you count things that are have a plan, a rough plan, but aren't permitted or built? The 6% is only things that are not planned at all.
Correct. So it's what's left.
Well, I think that would be relevant because a lot of the things that we see coming forward, marketplace, you know, other areas, all the ones that you all have mentioned, are on areas that are already planned. So they wouldn't be part of that 6%, but that is still what we're seeing for development. So instead of 6%, I think, you know, it's useful to look at, even if there is a plan from 20 years ago, it's still vacant land.
That's an excellent point. And so the one that jumps out at me the hardest is the fact that the whole stretch of Buchoya from Lambert to Naranja is planned for residential homes, zoned, approved, and has been. It hasn't, they're starting to come in. But in terms of the biggest growth areas, that's it. In terms of there's a large commercial, two commercial nodes, and a lot of residential units. So, right, there's still definitely growth.
Yeah, so it might be more than 6% when we talk about build-out.
Yeah. And also back to the mayor's point, which I really appreciated, is that that we're going to see a lot, we're going to see redevelopment. In my humble opinion as a planning professional, growth doesn't stop. It changes shape.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So think of older communities, redevelopment. You know, there's always something going on. It changes shapes and forms. And Ore Valley, it is changing. It's on the cusp of changing. We're going to start seeing more requests like the Ore Valley Marketplace, for example, changing and taking a new look at existing developments. That's coming, and it's important to plan for. So, all right. Moving on to next.
So, taking how your perspective of what's changed and also the quick overview I gave, now we really want to hone in on what do you think will be the focus topics, the discussions for this next general plan when we go out into the community. So to do so, we've taken the elements that are required in the general plan. What we heard last time was community values. We've kind of condensed them to what's shown on the wall by Mr. Vella. So you all either have 6 dots or they're by the door and I will grab you 6 dots. I'm going to ask you all to please place your dots on what you think are going to be the key focal topics as we move forward. Now, if we didn't get one of the if we don't have a topic that you think will be interesting up there, go ahead and put your dot on the other. After you guys do this, what we're going to do is we're going to pick the top 5, so think about your votes, and we're going to kind of have a discussion about those. Why those were the top 5? Yes.
Can you put more than one dot on the same thing?
Yeah. So, as you all get up, if you need a dot or a strip of dots, let me know. The colors don't matter.
Is this what we think they should be, or what we think they will be?
I was reading in the recent general plan a lot of the goals and policies. It
And I thought, you know, we've really done a lot of those things.
Oh, you have?
And that made me feel good. Like, you know, it's not always easy getting there, but we're really...
Yeah.
I mean, not perfect, but we're...
No, but we're going that direction. People are trying to convince each other up there. Give me a red dot.
And I just want to let you guys know this is also a great opportunity. There is a lot more pizza. So I love the line. There's more pizza in the other, in the kitchen area too.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to use this more.
Well, I'm a big fan of multi-use.
Yeah, I know what you're lobbying for.
Yeah.
A lot more.
Good.
Well, and
even our yeah,
oh,
right.
Depending on the state, you can make
adding another one.
Yeah, that's the next one.
I'm not. I'm not.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah, we're good.
I think it's interesting.
Then I'll be on the mailing.
Okay, I will definitely do that. Well, if you already know what you're doing, then mine as well.
As I told my daughter.
Yeah, there's still a lot of work. Preventing all the things we did in our job. The rock is a big part of that.
Yeah, this is my first being political argument, but I've been using it while my son plays soccer for years.
Mayor, everybody, let's get going. Who's Brad? have your seat, Gary. Gary, you should get that one.
We have
to
get that one. Don't make me forget it. Okay, so looking at where you guys placed your stickers, we did a quick count. And so looking up here, you can see, and I do have to say the infrastructure went up late, so unfortunately they're sticky. You cannot change your choice. But environment and open space and water, two of the highest. Development and growth, as well as parks and recreation, also high as focal areas. You'll need to see next set. They're all pretty close. So climate, sustainability, public safety, housing, cultural resources, even transportation. They're all pretty close. And I think that speaks to the list you guys just came up with what's changed. You had something on each of these topics of changes. And then other, which I do want to go through because I want to know what your topics were under other. So first, I want to kind of start with the top five. I want to hear more from you. Why did you put your stickers there? Why did you choose that topic as being what you think will be a focus of the community discussion moving forward? So if you chose water, please raise your hand. And Mr. Bella is going to call on you, and I'm going to be typing up your comments again. Again, we're going to start with the top five, but because there are so many close ones, if we have time, we'll go through all of them. And again, we do want to touch on other to hear your topics. So, water.
Do best to do this in a rapid-fire way. Water, please, go.
It's a concern. I mean, the rapid growth is going to have a problem. There's going to be a problem sooner or later with water.
Very good, very good. Thanks, Mo.
Live about 4 days without it.
Very helpful. Thank you so much for that contribution. And it's wet. All right. I'm sorry. There's a hand here, Tom.
It's going to have an impact on growth, not within the confines of Moro Valley, but extending beyond Moro Valley.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Another hand. Yes, sir, please.
It will ultimately control the growth of the entire Southwest. Yeah. Arizona is right in the middle of it. And if this town seems to think that it has an unlimited access to water, then that might be an interesting business for them to follow up for others that don't.
All right. Thank you, sir. Please, yes, ma'am.
So
hit you next, please.
The quality of life and the relationship between cost of water and access to it as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good.
The cap restrictions and the inevitable lawsuits.
There's a lot of discussion out there right now about that. A lot of questions. Anyone else? Please, Vice Mayor.
The cost of water is going to be an issue.
Very good. Very good. Yes, ma'am. And then to you, Hal.
I recently had the opportunity to talk to the Abraham, which is really interesting. And I know that Oro Valley has a lot of work that is happening with water, but I hope that we continue to do that and plan for the next steps, because I know it's going to just get worse. Yeah.
Very good. It's one of those issues in my mind. The more you pull on that string, the more string you find. It's very complex. How?
Yeah, to follow on that, there's a great deal of uncertainty about what's going to be happening with water resources, but I think the Vice Mayor, he's pretty certain that the cost of water is going to keep going up.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It never goes down.
Now, the average use of water per household is 7,000 gallons. I got my last water bill, and we used 2,000 gallons. So I'm really... opportunity to... Lower. And really, it doesn't change significantly. I mean, I bathe every day.
So.
I can see that look around. Yeah. People moving away from the bathing.
Point well taken. Conservation. Yeah. Conservation. million.
So I put my sticker on water not because it's my particular concern. I'm born and raised in Page, Arizona, Lake Powell, so I'm well, you know, aware of the Colorado River Plateau and all of the drought that's taking place there and the effects that it has downriver from the Colorado River. But again, I put my sticker on there because I know that it's a concern of the community.
Yes, yes.
And I believe that it needs to be escalated in the general plan for that awareness purpose and confidence in the expertise of the water people of Oro Valley. And we know what we're doing, and this is our plan, and this is what we're doing.
One or two more, and then we're going to flip to the next. Yes, sir.
Yeah, making sure different people know what the different responsibilities of different levels of government are as they pertain to water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you come to a town council meeting, you're really frustrated about the Colorado River. Maybe not a lot that mayor and council can do about that, but there's a lot that we can do at different levels, and so making sure we understand where to direct our time and energy in terms of water.
Very good. It's a very complex web. Anyone else? Then we'll move on to the next topic. All right, last quick hit on water.
I guess I'm a little late to this conversation, but whenever I hear the talk of water, especially in Arizona, I think about the Scottsdale suburbs and the issue with water being cut off from them.
In the New York Times just the last couple of days.
It's all over the news. I guess my biggest concern is making sure that we are on a path where that does not happen.
Sustainability. Very good. All right, so let's move to the next.
It's environment and open space.
Environment and open space. So, Daughters for Environment and Open Space. Tell me more. What did you be? What thoughts went through your head? Please.
Well, everyone was talking about how it's a different feel. You know, you can tell when you're in Oro Valley. And to lose that, I mean, a lot of it is our environment. It is our open space that we get to enjoy, and so we have to make sure that doesn't go away.
Very good. Who else? Please. Yes, sir.
I put my thought on that space because as we push for development and growth and to improve infrastructure, we should keep in mind that to keep our environment still healthy just to preserve wildlife, because that's, like she was saying, is like a large part of Oro Valley. That when you see it, it's just beautiful.
Very good. I'm going to pick on you, Ms. Lamona. You brought up a salient point about wildlife and displacement and maintaining corridors.
I don't know. Sometimes I wonder when we get the reports back with the zoning items that Arizona Department of whatever, whatever it is. Was it one with the wild?
Arizona Game and Fish?
Thank you. That one. They basically all say the same thing. How long do they ever update their reports? We have had so much development in town. I wonder whether they're just giving us blanket reports.
No. I have no answer for that. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am, please.
I feel like whenever my family members visit, they always like praise like the mountains we have and the wildlife and everything to do with the desert here. As stated before, as we push for more development and infrastructure, it limits that. So it's very crucial to find a balance between the two so we can conserve our environment while still bettering the town.
Very good. I don't mind sharing. That point is such a big thing that the last three general plans, all of our general plans, the top two values that are always identified, top two, and sometimes they change, public safety, environment and views. Those are always the top two that we hear in terms of values. A lot of other values, but those two always really loud. Vice Mayor, please.
The open space is the top amenity requested by our residents consistently. So I think it's going to be an important topic.
So it should be no surprise that we're going to hear that. Very good. Yes, ma'am, please.
I feel like, it's basically like agreeing with all the other points, but I find that more people, as more big cities appear and are more like technologically advanced and are developing, they find that conserving the environment and having that open space, people value that quite a lot, like a lot more than people usually think. And it's really important to conserve that because it kind of provides like a breather, like a space to relax and kind of have that resting spot from like daily life and like just the fast paced life that we usually live.
There you go.
Maybe one more.
Dan?
Well, one of the things about open space, if I understand land use planning, that a park or some walking area or so forth should be within 15 minutes of the residence. I think this is a key factor for Oro Valley that needs to think about, is that making sure that you strategize where you put up these residential areas, but there's at least some walking space, open space for the residents.
Accessibility.
Accessibility.
Very good. Very good. All right. So we're going to move on. Next one?
The next one is parks and recreation. So we're...
Perfect. I know.
Call me clairvoyant, but I have a feeling you have something to say.
So this is oddly specific, but I'm going to put it out there.
No, please.
We need more and better volleyball courts, because you can go to any park and always find a basketball or tennis court, which is great, but it's always like a toss-up of whether or not you're going to find a volleyball court. If you do find one, it's not great. Maybe like the sand's not that good, or the net is too low, and you can't do a lot with it. I play volleyball personally. I love it. I think it's a very important part of life to play. Or even if you don't, you just go to the park and have fun. So I think that should be is an important part of the community, and there should be more and better volleyball.
Volleyball, and I have to say, I'm shocked you didn't say pickleball.
No.
Please, come on, folks. This is a big deal topic. Come on, let me see some hands. Let's go. Back there, please.
I think we talked about the family and bringing more family events to Oro Valley, and I think parks are a big aid in that, and it kind of connects, again, bridging the gaps between the youth and the elderly. It helps out with that.
Very good. I mean, that goes back to your comment about there's more in Oro Valley that people can stay here and recreate. So, please, anyone else? Joe, please.
So, I'm not sure if it's exactly parks and rec, but I mean, I think our bike paths are awesome. I've never been in a town that had better ones, and yet I think they're not enough, right? I think we could help transportation and other things if we can continue to make bike paths that people can get to places, right? Get to the marketplace, get to home, get to things on their bikes, then we could maybe reduce some of the traffic.
Safe bike paths and they will come.
Yeah.
And we'll use them.
Just stay away from La Cañada.
Yeah. All right, any other quick hits? Yes, ma'am, in the back, and then sir, we'll go to you in the corner.
I think that Parks and Recs is going to be another big topic for people, because when I moved here in 2006, there was riverfront, and now there's so much more. And of course, my daughters won't get to enjoy as much of it because they're graduating and leaving or a valley. But I just imagine the families that are, you know, going to be part of this planning are going to scream for the park amenities, because when you have kids, you know, you need a variety of park amenities, not just one thing. So I think parks are going to be a big, big deal in this plan.
Hey, you're right on. And that's the natural arc in my mind when you're training the community.
Yep.
Right? Wanting more of those types of services. Yes, sir, please.
I think it's important to make sure that the parks that we do have, and we already do a lot of this, but make sure that they're accessible year-round. Obviously, like in the dead heat of the summer, there's not a lot of people going to Naranja, but making sure we still have shade, sprinklers, all those different things. Plants and whatnot, so we can use them year-round.
Great comment. Please.
So I think just like there's going to be a balance with the environment, open space, and development, there's also going to be a need for balance between parks and rec and quiet enjoyment of your home. So I have kids that play outdoor sports. Not volleyball, but year-round, and accessibility and availability is key to a community that values family, community engagement. But I think that in the general plan going forward, there should be a balance for respect for the quiet enjoyment of people's homes as well.
Very Balance is an important word. All right, let's do one more
just,
and move on.
Just
please.
Also, not just having the park, but maintaining the parks, the park areas. We have to maintain them, because if you don't, then there's no reason to have them.
All right. Mr. Bowen, please.
Just remember, in reviewing the town's budget from 10 years ago, by far the greatest increase in any department has been Parks and Rec.
Yep.
So if you're asking for more Parks and Rec, in my opinion, you have every right to ask for them. You pay a fortune for Parks and Rec right now. So your volleyball court, you're paying for it, in my opinion. Don't believe me. Look at the budget. We have a gold plated budget in Parks and Rec. Ask for more. You're paying for it.
Very good. So, next topic.
Do you want me to
I have a watch.
I do want to let you know we're closing in on 8. If it's okay with everybody, do you mind 30 more minutes or less?
How about 15?
15. All right.
All right. Just
highest bidder, we'll go with that. Thank you.
All right. Next topic. Let's move. What's the next topic?
We're at part for development and growth.
Development and growth. Development and growth. Please, let's see some hands. Let's get some quick comments. Development and growth. Dan, please.
Yes. One of the things I'm trying to translate those two words and that phrase. Here's an idea that I think has not been cultivated enough. But Rancho Vistoso has almost 25 homeowner associations. That means they're organized. That means they have a board and so forth.
Right.
When you start talking about saving water, parks and open space, you ought to utilize that type of structure. These homeowner associations can really provide you with some information and also to develop a community tie.
Great. And we need that nugget in terms of who we should be reaching out to and how.
Yes.
Just because we're slim on time, because you pushed us hard on 15 minutes. Let's get specific. Development and growth. Is there fatigue about the pace of development that's happened over the last 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm surprised someone hasn't jumped up and said that. Is that a thing?
Yes. It is a thing.
It's
yes.
A thing.
We're kind of done with it.
Anything else?
I would just say, I think a lot of it is the density. I understand it's the developer's land, and he wants to make as much money as he can from it. But the point being, how much of this the land that's open is the large lots. If people were building on large lots, we would keep more of that small town feel.
So we're talking about the density, maintaining small town feel. What about the type of building?
I'm concerned with all the multifamily that is coming up, because I do think you need to have rentals, but I think that even having a product that is a starter home versus a rental home is a much better deal for Oro Valley.
Mm-hmm.
That, I just read an article today about the fact that there's these, I don't know whether it's a, there's an institute in ASU that's like studying the reason why multifamily doesn't get infiltrated in communities. And one of the things they said is that the NIMBY mentality, right? And I find that kind of like insulting, because why do you have to have multifamily? Why can't you just have a product that can be a starter home? So that would be, like, I think that's the concern for a lot of people, like the apartment, the rental units,
That's a concern. That's what we're trying to identify,
yeah.
Concerns.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir, please.
I think the balance between not wanting home prices to go up and up and still wanting it to be affordable, but also still wanting to keep our density and keep our current feel. Just think in terms of that NIMBYism, we have to balance that, because we can't always have both.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Well, I may be a child, but I go to the town council meetings, and I constantly hear people like Mr. Bowen talk about all these business openings, and I just wonder, how do you expect all these businesses to be employed if you aren't offering some sort of non-permanent housing, especially rental units? Like, not everybody can afford themselves to get a home that they can live in for as a starter home or as a home that they're going to raise their family in.
you have to have some sort of starting point.
Very good.
Again, I am just a kid.
Good comment, good point. Mr. Bergsma, please.
So, Melini made the point earlier that a lot of people that live in Oro Valley work outside of Oro Valley. I guess I'd like to know the reverse. How many people who work in Oro Valley live outside of Oro Valley? And commuting, again, adding the traffic. I mean, is it because, if that's happening, I'm not sure how much it's happening, is it because they can't afford to live in Oro Valley?
Right, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Great point. We do have numbers on that. I don't remember, but businesses like the hospital have a very large influx, and others do draw. So there is a significant number that.
And I'm talking, you know, my focus has been on affordable housing for older adults, but there's also a need for workforce housing and the people that provide services in the town of Oro Valley. Where are they living? Can they afford to live?
Good topic of concern. All right.
Transportation's
next. What? So when you put a dot on transportation, what was going through your head? Please. I know I heard of concerns about traffic. Is that? Somebody speak up. I don't want to tell you. Speak up. Yes, ma'am.
Well, specifically to the traffic and the issue of the bike trails that people brought up, we need an alternative transportation for people to get around town, or we're going to have more traffic. So it's kind of a two-sided issue.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to reduce the traffic because one causes costs to repair the roads. It also lately seems to be causing more accidents. But also people need to have other forms of transportation to get around, and especially to get to work or in and out of town.
I like to observe, you can only make oracles so wide. Right? So alternatives are important. Yes, ma'am, and then we'll come up to the front.
This kind of has to do with public safety as well, but just as a teenager starting to drive, I start to realize something about not just teenagers driving, but I'm sure you've all seen a teenager drive, but it's kind of scary sometimes. And it can be the same way with the older community, but I've seen a lot especially around my neighborhood, I've seen the speeding around certain areas, especially those of which, like, I'm by Innovation Academy. Mm-hmm. That area, 25, people go 45, you know?
Right.
So I'll see cops in certain areas, and I know people have memorized where those certain spots are, but I feel like there are more important places where they should be, because, like, in those neighborhoods, there's children running all the time. You never know when one's just going to dart out into the street. I'm not just saying neighborhoods in particular, but just those spots where those speed limits are there because that is what is enforced and that is what is important. And so to reduce those accidents, especially for teenagers, because they don't follow the speed limit, but just protecting that, making sure those accidents are not as apparent, because there have been a lot in the past year, especially. So.
Transportation and public safety.
Mm-hmm.
That would be important. Can I come back to you, sir? I'll make sure we get someone new to the conversation. Please, back.
Traffic density creates more aggressive drivers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, we need to find a way, I think, of controlling some of the traffic density, and maybe some education programs of some kind so that people know and understand what the rules of the road are.
Very good. So education, and it's linking again that safety element. Yes, ma'am, and then I'm going to head over here.
The built environment could be better for traffic calming, but there are ways to design roadways that exist currently so that drivers know to slow down. We have a lot of straight roadways with very few lights in between. They lend themselves to people speeding 5 to 10 over.
Oh my gosh, you're so
right. So there's real ways you can change that. And then people have the visual signals that they should slow down, and that improves pedestrian safety, gets people out of their houses. You feel safer walking on the road,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Planning complete streets.
Complete streets, yes, exactly.
Complete
yeah.
streets. So, one more and then we need to move on. I have pointed this, yes, ma'am, for the back, please.
Yeah, I think we brought up the need for other options of transportation other than just driving, and I think the SunTrain and Sun Shuttle have been really helpful. And I know so many kids from my school take it to school and they take it back. And I think it's really useful, and it would be great if we could expand it in a way, I think.
That's important to hear. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of heads bouncing up and down in agreement. Mo, right to swap that up.
If you look at I-10 in the morning, it's unbelievable. It's bumper to bumper. And Amtrak could work with Southern Pacific and put a light rail train between here and Phoenix if we really worked at it and thought about it. It'd save lots of money, lots of time, but it's something that, you know, it's just kind of maybe dead on arrival. I don't know. But I think it's something we should think about.
Very good. All right, I'm really going to get moving on. So, quick hits, real fast, go.
With the onslaught of electric vehicles, it'd be nice to have charging stations to each birthplace.
There you go. We have a Tesla. Hal, real quick.
One of the things we haven't talked about this evening is the number of people that live only part-time in Rural Valley. I'm one of them. My primary residence is here, but I have a second residence in the Northwest. And there's a lot of people in that situation. And in fact, that's what affects traffic volumes. We have much higher traffic volumes in the winter than we do in the summer.
It's
very seasonal. So yeah, that's something we might factor into our planning.
The seasonal last thing. Yes. All right.
Next last is other. So there's six dots. So I assume maybe six people. I want to just hear what you wanted as your topic for other.
Financial sustainability.
Financial sustainability.
For me,
Joyce.
It was, I want us to remain a cohesive community without strife. Because socially what I'm let me rephrase. Without the normal issues that we deal with.
Yes.
Because I see things socially just changing so rapidly around the country, and I don't want to get that ever feel like we've come to that.
Hear, hear.
Very good, Joyce. And that goes back to your comment about just there seems to be more strife.
Any other?
Others.
Who also, yes.
I also tagged it for finances. Obviously, all these things are going to cost money, so there has to be a discussion of how we pay for it.
Not a small thing.
No.
Not a small thing. Any others? Any other others? All right.
So,
I want to thank you guys for giving us 10 more minutes. How about that? For coming. I do want to just to give some summary. We will be sending out the notes. So, of course, if we miss anything, if you think of anything, that will be your homework, is to let me know so we can add it to the minutes. We do want everything documented. Our next meeting is next Thursday. It starts at 6. The only difference is it will be in the council chambers. We'll be sending out reminders, but just keep in mind it's over there. And our topic for next week is we're going to look at what are our community values when it comes to public outreach. So also this week, think about any time you participated in a community outreach effort. It could have been the last general plan. It could be whatever you've done through school or other organizations. And what made that great? Because we want to be the best. So we want to capture all the best practices. And then we're going to talk about stakeholders. Who should be involved in the community engagement process? So a couple of things to think about. You will be getting a packet of information as well, just like this time. So if you did not get it, I have heard sometimes it goes to your spam, but please let me know if you're not receiving emails. And then lastly, I have to make a pitch. We have a community engagement survey out. There is a QR code on the table when you walk in. If you scan it with your phone, you can take it. It's pretty brief, but this has gone out to all the community. I'm asking all of you to take it. Please spread the word about it. We have roughly 560 people that have taken it. It will be live until January 26th. And as the advisory group, you will see the results of that. We're going to be using that to help build this plan. So With that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 8:10. Thank you all for coming.
This is a great turnout tonight. Thank you so much.